Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
All right, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah, and we're going to be in Jeremiah 29. I want to tell you a little story from this week. So, whether you probably already know this, but man, the last 6 weeks of my family's life has been one of the most trying seasons of our lives. It's just been absolutely outrageous. I'll be totally honest, there's been lots of moments. I've had a struggle with discouragement, and I've had a struggle with all the ups and downs. I feel the decision fatigue of just all the changes, and just as you all are tired, imagine all the daily changes and things that we're having to do as a team. And there came a night this past week, and our kids are feeling it, you know, and my wife is feeling it, and we're just kind of sitting there, and we're like, man, something's gotta change here. We need to like do something to rally together as a family and have fun. She goes, "You have any ideas?" And I said, "Hold on." And it was like probably like 6 o'clock, 6:30 at night, so it's getting dark, and I ran and grabbed a flashlight, and I went upstairs, and I turned all the lives off. I didn't turn any lives off. I turned the lights off. And when I ran up there, I turned all the lights off. I grabbed the spotlight, and I said, "All right, kids, everybody upstairs now." And I got them all around, and I said, "We're going to play hide-and-go-seek in the dark." Right? And I said, whoever's it gets the flashlight, everybody else has got to hide in the dark. And I said, we're gonna do this. Everyone's going to get a turn. And so I was it. And so I was counting. Shannon runs off with the girls, and I'm giving them time, and I'm sitting on the steps waiting. And I go into our bedroom, and I look on the floor, and Hattie is laid out planking on the floor in the dark, you know, next to the bed. And I walk over to her. Now if you can see this, it's like there's the bed, Hattie's laying on the floor, and here's the window and curtain of our bedroom, right? And so Hattie's laying there, and I shine the light on her, and I go, "Gotcha." And she laughs and gets up, and I go, "All right, where's the rest of them?" And I walk away. Guys, I'm not kidding. 10 seconds. I hadn't even left the room yet. Maybe it's 5 seconds. All right, come with me. Hattie's giggling. And I hear, "Hey, you didn't find me." And Maggie was hiding right where Hattie was. Maggie, because it was in the dark, I didn't notice. She was hiding behind the curtain. And I didn't find her. And Hattie starts cracking up because Maggie hadn't been hiding for 15 seconds, 15, 30 seconds. And I walked away. Maggie's totally getting away with the opportunity to hide from me. And I'm not even out of the room. And she yells, "Hey, you didn't find me yet." And Hattie cracks up. She's laughing, falling on the floor. And I laughed and I said, "Hattie, Maggie doesn't want to hide. Maggie wants to be found." And when I said that, the Lord says, "I don't hide. I want to be found." And the Lord speaks to my heart really clearly. In this moment of just playing with my kids and my family, I realize the Lord is not hiding. The Lord is looking to be found. And that hit me, and the rest of the night was the same way. I mean, Maggie doesn't hide. Maggie tries to be found, you know? Everyone was hiding and finding the best spots to hide. And I, whenever I'd find everybody and we're waiting on Maggie, we'd say, "Everyone just stop and listen." And you'd hear Maggie like tooting in the bathroom and laughing about it. You know what I mean? And just like making herself super heard. I was thinking about this statement, and I felt like, you know, the Lord began to speak to my heart that this is a season where he's making himself visible. You know, God became man. He walked with us. He showed us his face. And he laid down his life for the purpose of being found, not for the purpose of hiding. God went from the garden And because of sin and the law, separating himself and being behind a curtain for generations of mobilizing Israel until the point where the Father sent his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. That the Father, he left heaven and he walked among men and he tore the veil and he broke his body and he gave his spirit, and he didn't do any of this for the purpose of hiding from you. He did it for the purpose so that you could find him. Because God's not in the business of hiding. He's in the business of being found. And just because he is hidden from your sight doesn't mean he's hiding. He wants to be found. And he's even calling your name in the darkness right now. And whatever you're going through, whatever the trials and struggles and whatever, wherever your heart is at, I hear the Lord going, I haven't been found yet. Don't move on to the next thing. Don't turn the lights on. I haven't been found yet. And he's making himself known. He's making himself visible. Because this is a season where God is playing seek and find. Not hide and seek. He's playing seek and find. Where God is giving all the clues and he's laying his life out before you because he's looking for those that would chase after him right now. Look at Jeremiah 29:13. It says, and you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Gosh, I love this verse. I'm gonna say it again because I feel like this is a declaration of your life. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord. The Lord is declaring this over you right now. You will find me. I will be found by you. And I feel like that the Lord, you know, I've been saying this from the beginning, but it's maybe not more real. Like, we went into quarantine for 3 months, you know, like 14 days to flatten the curve, right? Turned into 3 months of quarantine, you know, and back in March. And it was a season where nobody had an option. And it was a season of this intense introspection where I kept saying, guys, this is a divine moment. Because if you miss, you're going to miss it. If you don't have eyes to see, you're going to miss this moment. Is that God is breaking down all of the idols of the church that we have, where we've allowed the church to become our identity. We've allowed the church to become our prayer meeting. We've allowed the church to become our place of devotion. We've allowed the church to become our ministry. We've waited for the lost to come in through those doors. And now here we are, and there's no church, and there's only a live stream, and there's no false security systems. And God is turning our hearts back to a genuine move of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it would be so easy that we come out of quarantine and we'd get back into these normal grooves and we'd get comfortable again and we'd forget. And God, in these moments where he says, listen, I'm taking out what these comfort zones. I'm taking out all these systems and structures. Oh, you can't meet for a couple weeks. That's fine, because I'm still Yeshua HaMashiach. I'm still the Messiah. I'm still the God of my presence. And I am not hindered by any changes. And I'm calling my church back to the very place of authentic devotion and authentic pursuit of my heart. And I'm calling you back to what really matters. And this is this place of devotion of my presence, where you'd become carriers. You would become known by me and I would be known by you. And I just feel the Lord. It's like we could miss the word of the Lord in these moments. Next week, we'll be back together. We'll be side by side and, you know, maybe 6 feet apart, or I don't know, but we'll be worshiping the Lord and all things will feel right. But did you get what God was doing in this season? In this moment, did you get what God is doing? Because God is declaring, you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about your presence. It's not about building churches. It's not about children's ministries and training programs and schools of ministry and all of these programs and programs and programs and small groups. I'm so thankful for all of it. But it's all about your presence. Am I giving you my whole heart in this season where the world wants to take all of the affections of my heart, and the world wants to take all of the with worry and care and just eat away at my affections, eat away at my devotions? Can I truly say, God, you have my whole heart, and you could say, and you will find me when you seek after me with your whole heart. God is not hiding. God wants to be found. And when we find God, we find the supernatural peace of God. And when we find his presence, we find the abundant joy of the Lord. And when we find God, we find miracle working power. And when we find God, we find the grace to overcome. We find the miracle working DNA of God when we find him. And in all throughout scriptures, we have, I only have a few more minutes I want to share with you guys. I know it's, you can't do these long, you know, sermons when we're online. I just want to share a couple things. The scriptures are full of examples of people finding God in dark times and what it looks like to seek after him when things are difficult. And listen, I know that for some reason people think that on November 3rd, it's going to be the magical day and all the COVID stuff is just going to end. And November 3rd, and then all of the Facebook will calm down and all that. But I just want to present to you that it doesn't matter if anything changes on November 3rd, because God never changed. He's always been the same, and he's going to continue to be the same, and he's making himself visible in this season. We don't need an election to change anything, because God remains exactly who he's always been. What we need is we need to change our eyes and our heart's attention to say, God, it's all always been about you. I even repent right now for turning my affections to all the other stuff, and I turn my eyes upon you right now. And so if you're going through anything difficult, this message is for you, that God is calling out from behind the window curtain saying, you haven't found me yet, don't move on. Go with me to Psalm 27. I want to read this to you. I want to talk about a few different locations where in times of trouble, godly men sought the Lord. And when godly men sought the Lord, what God did in that moment. Go with me to Psalm 27. It's one that I'm not going to share long on this one, because I've shared on it so many times, but it's a relevant promise for right now. Psalm 27. It says in verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, and my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident, that the one thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in his time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he will hide me. And he shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head will be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, and I will sing and sing to the Lord. He says that though I am surrounded by my enemy on every side, though an army is encamping against me, my heart will not fear. For the one thing that I desire of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Could you imagine David in this moment, surrounded by a whole team of like warriors and people that are like, all right, David, the enemy's against him. If we go in the middle hours of the night and we do all this, and David's like, hey guys, I'm gonna take a time out. I'm gonna go spend some time with the Lord. Could you imagine they're like, David, the enemy is encamped outside. What are you doing? And David is found gazing upon the beauty of Jesus, forgetting that there's a battle outside. And you find David in the prayer room. You find David in the secret place. You find David with his whole heart seeking after the Lord. Could you imagine even the anger of his team around him going, David, this is pretty important, man. I feel like you're ignoring reality right now. And David's like, nope, the one thing that I want to do with all of my life is to gaze upon the beauty of Jesus. It's all I want to do. I just want to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and be in his house. So that's what I'm going to do. And David comes out of that prayer room, and everybody is in the valley looking up at giants, and David's head is in the heavenlies looking down at ants. And it says, and now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me. And therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. David has joy because David spent the time to get a different perspective. David is not seeing what his team is seeing. David is not seeing what his heart was seeing before he went after the heart of the Lord. David is not seeing from a valley. David is seeing from the right hand of God, seated with Christ in heavenly places. He's elevated his perspective. He sees what God sees. And right now, some of us are feeling overwhelmed because we don't see what God sees. And sometimes we think the breakthrough looks like the battle is over instead of understanding the breakthrough looks like getting God's perspective over what he's doing. And we need to get into the heart of the Lord and to get his eyes. What do you see that I don't see? What are you doing? I mean, listen, the crazy thing, I've never in my life over the past 6 to 8 weeks have had to fight to see what God is seeing more than I have to right now. And it's not because I don't see what God's doing. It's because I see God doing so much, but I see so much warfare. And it is taking this like intensity of devotion and energy in my life to and even there are just moments where I just start to gaze upon the warfare and I go, no. Soul, do not forget what God is doing right now. I've never seen the signs and wonders. I've never seen the provision. I've never seen the growth and the breakthrough. I've never seen what I see God doing right now in the lives of people. And it would be so easy for people to get to try to believe God's not moving and God is this and there's a war that's encamped against you, Jamie, and we got to fight and all this stuff. But I just feel like the Lord is saying, no. Turn the lights off. And let's play seek and find. And come and find me because I'm gonna make myself known to you. And God wants to give you his perspective. Go with me to 2 Samuel 24:24, another story with David. David is our champion of this, man. And in 2 Samuel 24:24, David had, one of the things I actually love about David is that David always responded really well to his own failures, you know? David always sought the Lord when he sinned, you know? David, when his first son, you know, who was impregnated through Bathsheba was born and was ill and the baby was gonna die, what did David do? David went to the prayer room and fasted and prayed and sought the Lord and didn't come out until the baby had passed. And then when he came out, He came and he did what the Lord instructed him to do. And God redeemed that moment of loss in an extraordinary way. And Solomon came into the world, you know. And I just, David is our champion here. And David had sinned against the Lord. He wanted to see how great his kingdom was. So David took a census. And there it was such a demonic strategy of the enemy to get David to do that so that David would lead out of his own strength and not out of how the Lord was leading him and be humble before the Lord. And it says in 2 Samuel that the Lord came to him and said, because you partnered with Satan on that and because you obeyed with him, I could either send a 7-year famine, I could give you into the hand of your enemy, or I'll give you a 3-day plague. Your choice, David. And David says, I'll take anything that you believe is necessary for me to learn, God, but just don't let me fall in the hand of my enemy. It says, the mercy of the Lord came, and a 3-day plague came upon Israel, and 70,000 people died over 3 days. And it says that when David, after this moment, when the plague had continued, it says that that David went up to the threshing floor of Araunah. And he went to him, and David's heart, in the response to the plague and the sin of his own life, David goes to the threshing floor of Araunah and goes, and because of all the plague, I'm going to offer to the Lord. I'm going to build an altar to the Lord, and I'm going to purchase land where my son will build the house of God's presence, a prayer, a temple where God's presence can rest. David, in the face of the plague and even his own sin, did not waver. He kept his eyes on the house of the Lord, the presence of God. And he goes, and in verse 24, it says he goes to Arana, and he goes, hey, I want to buy your land, and I want to make an offering to the Lord. And Arana goes, great, I'll give you all the oxen that you need. I'll give you the livestock, David. I'll give you the land. Offer to the Lord and turn back this plague. And David says this in verse 24, and the king said to Arana, no, I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, that which costs me nothing. And David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar to the Lord and offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings to the Lord, heeding the prayers of the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Your pursuit of the presence of God in times of difficulty and trial carries breakthrough power. Because the Lord, you know, I can't tell you how many times that our anxiety, our worry, and our stress are distractions. Because our prayer life goes, God, end this. God, do this. God, I need a miracle. God, this. God, this. And do you not see me? God, where are you? God, and we can get so distracted by the problem that we forget about his presence. And David, in the face of the problem, he looks at the crisis and his heart goes, I want to build an altar to the Lord and worship him. What does it say? He says he built an offering to the Lord and peace offerings to the Lord. David in this moment knew what to do, and he needed to build a house of the Lord. He needed to buy the threshing floor. He needed to set up a generation that would come to seek his presence. He needed to build an altar, because this is the way that warfare is really done, is keep your heart fixed on the one thing. Like some of us, our prayer life is increased, but it's a prayer life of anxiety, not an offering of peace. And the enemy is winning. Because he's gotten our focus off of the presence of the Lord. He's actually robbed us of our worship. He's robbed us of our joy. He's robbed us of our peace, where we can go and say, God, you're all that matters. In the face of the storms, you're all that matters. You're all that I want. You're all that I seek. God wants to keep our hearts fixed in these times. And keeping our heart fixed is the right response to crisis. It carries breakthrough power. We are not a people that takes matters into our own hands in the face of crisis. We build altars to the Lord. Man, have you built an altar? You know, I was really encouraged. I gave this like little testimony out this week of just something the Lord is speaking to me, a little devotional about going out into the field and worshiping the Lord. And I was so encouraged. Jane and Marie, who are here praying over the service, they said before the service, they said, hey, if our windows were down, you would have heard us at like 1 o'clock in the morning the other night. We were crying out to the Lord for 5 hours, 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Man, we need some more people building a 5-hour altar to the Lord in their homes, keeping their eyes fixed on Jesus, saying, this is my response to the crisis. This is my response to the problem. I'm going to build an altar to the Lord. It carries power. Go with me to Psalm 16. Just this one, and then I'm going to end with us. I hope you all are well in your homes, tucked away from this cold weather and the time change. Psalm 16, one of my favorite verses. You know what? I'm actually going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. Let's do this. Psalm 16 out of the Passion Translation. In verse 1, hold on 1 second. I apologize. In verse 1, it says, keep me safe, O mighty God. I run for dear life to you, my safe place. I want to start off because where we're about to go in this verse is about the pleasures and the joys of the presence of the Lord. But it starts off with saying, God, keep me safe. I'm running to you for dear life because you're my safe place. I want to start off by saying that, like, the response of David in the face of his trials is, I run to you. And as we as a people, we've got to become so persistent in running to the Lord in our times of difficulty. I run to you, God. I don't know what to do. I'm struggling right now. I run to you, God. You are my safe place. You are the shadow of your wings is where I find safety and in hiddenness. And so, God, I run to you. And David's heart in this moment is running to the Lord because he feels unsafe. Go with me to verse 7. It says, "For the way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more. For your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Because you are close to me and you are always available. My confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and my soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption, for you bring a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you." He goes, "God, I run to you, and the way you counsel me and the way you correct me causes me to praise you all the more. Your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next." You know, one of the things about when we run to the Lord, you know, right before this, the prayer of David is, "God, in your presence is the fullness of joy. Your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God, that you are my inheritance. You, Lord, you cause my cup to overflow." David's eyes are fixed upon the beauty of Jesus. And as they're fixed upon the beauty of Jesus, he says, "And you counsel me and you whisper to me in the night where to go and what to do." You know, in his presence is a place of divine wisdom and instruction. It's a place of the counsel of God. And God wants to get us into the pattern of always seeking the always available God, even when we lie on our beds. Here's what I feel like the Lord wants to train his people how to live in the counsel of the Spirit of wisdom. Like God wants to, these are moments where we have to live in the wisdom of the Lord. We've made a lot of like changes and we've made a lot of steps, and I know that the changes have been annoying, but please know that every change we make is bathed in hours of intercession and prayer and dreams and visions where we're listening to the Lord, because we have to live in the counsel of the Spirit of wisdom. And I'm so shocked how many believers are living in the wisdom of their own opinion instead of the wisdom and the counsel that comes from above. You know, we've read a lot of articles and we've crafted a lot of opinions. But have we brought all these before the Lord and said, "Yeah, but Lord, how do I live wisely in your presence and carry your will for my life wisely in this hour?" We have many opinions, but God is inviting us to seek the always available God, the God of wisdom and counsel, that we would run to him and that he would speak to us even in the night seasons. You know, and here's what I can promise you about when you live in the counsel of the Spirit of wisdom, that you have cars that pull in front of you that stay faithful. You have dreams in the night that encourages your heart and shows you what to do. You'll have friends that God will put you upon their heart and their mind to say exactly what you need. I literally, just before this, was praying and saying, "God, this is what I need to hear from you." I walked out of my office, and then one of our intercessors says to me, "This is what God says." And it was the exact thing I said I need to hear from him. Like when you live and you seek the presence of the Lord and you celebrate his counsel in your life, you will live in the constant environment of the Spirit of wisdom counseling you, correcting you, and leading you. I don't know about you, but I want that prophetic spirit on my life counseling my every decision, that I would not live under the cloud of man's opinions and ideas, but I would live in the counsel of the presence of the Lord. And when we live in that realm, God gives us wisdom that is from above. He gives us counsel that leads us to the places of exploding joy, full of glory, of the place where God's continual revelation of resurrection life and the pathways of bliss that bring us face to face with God. Like, these are the promises of that pathway. God wants to bring you into his godly counsel. And in his presence is where he speaks that to you. Not only when you're listening, but when you get into rhythms of seeking and pursuing and listening, God will speak to you when your kid calls out from behind a curtain, when you get behind a car with a license plate. God will speak to you in a movie that you're enjoying with your spouse. God will begin to speak to you because your ears are pressed against his chest. You've drawn near to the Lord, and he says, I declare you will find me. And God wants to bring his church into that spirit of wisdom and counsel. And last but not least, a reminder that we'll end with and then we'll pray is this, is that God's presence is not a means to a miracle. God's presence is not a means to an end. God's presence is the reward. I want to say that again. Just close your eyes and do a little Selah moment with me. Is that God's presence is not a means to a miracle. God's presence is not a means to a word. God's presence is not a means to an end. God's presence is the reward. The joy of worshiping together is not that we get to be together. It's that there is his presence shows up when we worship. The reward is his presence. The reward of your life is his presence. That he is making himself visible. And let us keep our eyes fixed. That the reward we're after, the pursuit of our hearts, is God, I just want you. Take the world. Have everything. I just want you.